The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we have been going through the theme of living the pure life, or living the life that Islam has envisioned us to live, we got to a point yesterday where we looked at the topic of community building. We want to move on from that point of last night and go on to our next discussion this evening. We've established a community, we have a center, we have programs, we have events, we have scholars that are with us on a regular basis. But what happens when that community is taken away from you? What happens when that community is literally stripped from under our feet overnight? So coming back to the topic that this global pandemic hit in March of 2020, and it upset the entire world. It changed the way that everybody did anything in life, from work to school to worship to everyday things like shopping. And when it happened, when it hit, and I'm going to only focus on the Muslim community, we really had three options, I would say, when you look at how religious our community centers, our organizations across at least North America I can speak about, or within Canada, we had a couple of options on what to do. We had one option, which was the default, which was to close all the centers immediately and do nothing. And I mean do nothing, that don't have any programming, even online. And unfortunately, this happened in many communities that I am aware of. They literally shut the doors of the center. They sent out an email, because of COVID, the center is closed until further notice. There will be no online programming. Basically, do what you want to do in terms of spirituality. Communities that are, again, communities, I use that term loosely as we analyzed it last night in a bit of detail, but communities that are supposed to be providing the spiritual guidance through the scholars who I know were ready and willing and able to offer the guidance, were basically told in many parts of our Muslim community that, look, there's a pandemic, we've closed the centers, thank you, but your services are not needed right now until we figure things out. That is one option, and as I said, there are many communities that I'm aware of that took that route, that they basically just shut the system down, they shut the centers down, and they did nothing for the believers. And keep in mind that, as I said previously, that religion, one of the benefits of having a religion is to deal at times of adversity. If you don't have religion when you're facing in your most difficult times, what can you rely on? Right? We don't go to the liquor store. No, we go to the vicar store. And when the vicar store is closed, people end up going to drugs and alcohol. And this is not what the Muslims did, but there are people out there who could not cope with COVID and the new reality. And so they were engaged in, you know, drugs and alcohol because that was their coping mechanism. And unfortunately for many Muslims in the community, they did not have something to fall back on because, as I said, the centers had shut their doors. It was as if, you know, that you could not even do anything online because their COVID would be transmitted via Zoom or something. So that was one outcome that people had to face. Number two was, yes, we close all the centers, but we move our programming online as far as possible, the majalis, the dua sessions, because that was around the time of the month of Ramadan, of Rajab, Sha'ban, and Ramadan were coming up after COVID began. And so as we recall, some of our communities had the ability, some of the leadership had the foresight, the religious scholars were allowed to engage with the executive and said, let's move everything online. It's not the ideal situation, right? We still see that learning in person in this format, our children coming to madrasa with a teacher in front of them, our children going to the Muslim school with a real live teacher in front of them, is the best way to learn. Even if you look at non-Muslims and the secularists, this is what they're saying, that children were not able to focus by looking at a teacher on a screen. They were not able to really take in the information. And obviously we know as believers that this medium that we have, that yes, majalis and du'as can be online, but ultimately the best way of learning is in a physical presence. And there are many things we cannot do in virtual. You know, I remember people were saying, can we start to pray Jamaat Salat online? I'll take my laptop and face it towards Qibla and I'll position myself. The imam will have a camera on him, the imam of Jamaat, and I'll pray right behind my laptop. It sounds strange, but people were doing it. I had somebody tell me for the Namaz Eid, the Eid al-Fitr that happened in that first year of COVID, that I'm going to pray behind my television. I've moved my 60-inch TV to face the direction of Qibla and I'm praying behind it. I said, bro, you can't pray behind a television. You need to be praying with a real live person in front of you. But people thought that you could just, you know, because you can do a majlis online or a madrasa class online, well, why don't we just have Jamaat Namaz online? Some other Muslims are doing it. So why don't our maraj give a fatwa that you can pray Jamaat behind your television or your computer? It just doesn't work like that though, brothers and sisters. But again, those communities had that foresight to move online. Then there was a third option where you keep the masjid or the Husseiniyah open and you defy government orders. You practice, you know, a form of rebellion, as some people in the Christian world said, well, the prophets of God were rebels. The prophets of God never submitted to a worldly government, so why as Shias are we submitting to the government of Canada? Forget about regulations of Health Canada and local health authorities. We'll keep our centers open and defy the government rules. Now, we know that our maraja do give us rulings where they say that when you live in a non-Muslim society, that you need to follow the rules of the country. Obviously, where they do not impede us in fulfilling our obligations, right? So if the government of Canada passes certain laws which infringe on our rights as Muslims, we believe that we don't follow those. But this was a unique situation because it's not wajib to come to a majlis, generally speaking. It may become wajib if there are deviancies and things happen in the community where now we need to keep majalis in person, or congregational prayers or Friday prayers, they may turn into a necessity where we have to have them. And I'm sure we remember the story of many churches in Canada. The pastors ended up going to jail. I know in Alberta, there was a few pastors in rural Alberta that went to jail because they refused to close their church. Right? They practiced a form of, you know, of what they felt to be piety and in confronting the government, saying that you don't have the liberty to come into my church and tell me what to do. Muslims, for the most part, I don't see that we did that, and maybe that was good, maybe that was bad. I'm not going to comment on that, but just to see that, you know, there were various voices out there that were doing different things within the pandemic to ensure that their community remained on the path of religion, and to ensure that their community remained on that path of piety. At the same time, you know, we had very strange events happening in the community. You know, I'm not going to go into the whole issue about the vaccinations and should you or shouldn't you take them and the boosters. That's up to you to decide. But there were strange things coming out of our Muslim community. There was a speaker, an orator, who said that the cure for COVID can be found in the Quran. Literally, he said the cure for COVID is in the Quran. What did he mean? He literally said, open up the Quran and you'll find a hair. You know, maybe you pray sometimes and a beard hair falls out, or our sisters are praying and one of their hair falls out. And he literally says, you take that hair, you put it in water, and you drink that water, and that's the cure for COVID. You won't get COVID ever. Don't worry about vaccinations and this and that. Take a hair, wash it, and drink that water. It sounds preposterous, but this was what some so-called scholars of our community were promoting as a cure and a protection from COVID, right? And other things that came out, and I don't want to go through all of the theories, but there were many things that were being said in the community, right? And many of them perhaps even defied logic, if you think about it, right? Islam being a religion of logic and our teachings being a religion based on intellect, many of the things being said really didn't make sense to most sane, able-minded individuals.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Hali Hakimun Mati شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه